Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
So, this morning, I want to continue in a series on presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, on presence. And this morning, I'm excited to talk about the title of this morning's message is Magnify. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. We've had several different weeks that we have gone through this. We'll do it probably for another month or so, and we'll move on to the next thing. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you have promised through your word, you have promised to never abandon us, to never orphan us, to never leave us. Father, I thank you that your word is yes and amen. That your choice was to come down and humble yourself, live a life in obscurity for most of it, for 30 years, and then for 3.5 years of ministry, and the culmination was you laying your life down on a cross that we could have relationship with you at the cost of your life and of your very blood. Jesus, thank you that you pursued us, that you know us by name, that you want us, that you desire us. Father, it's unfathomable that the King of the universe would want a relationship with me. Jesus, I will forever, forever be grateful for your love and your kindness in bringing me close. Help us, Lord, this morning as we look into your precious word. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the Bible, an anchor to our souls, to help lead us, to help guide us, that speaks to us, this living, breathing, active word that you've given us, Lord. That we wouldn't just make up things on our own mind about you and say that it's so. But Father, your word keeps us from weirdness, keeps us from easily walking astray in our own vain imaginations. Father, thank you for the power of your word. We value it. We bless this time, Father. Holy Spirit, help us. Make it come alive. Yes. Lord, that I would walk out different than when I walked in. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you do and want to do with us this morning. Bless this time, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. This morning, so presence is the series. Magnify is the title. And this morning, I want to look at something. It's called peace, P-E-A-C-E, peace, the peace of God. And when I look at people and all of humanity, I do find three driving things that every single human being, whether they live in India, whether they live in Afghanistan, whether they live in Africa, Canada, America, Singapore, wherever they live, I have found humanity is looking for three basic things. As a human being made in the image of God, whether they recognize him, whether they worship him, whether they acknowledge him, humanity is looking for love. Humanity is looking for purpose. Why am I here? And I think the heart cry of every human being is longing for peace. And I'm not talking about for neighboring nations. I'm talking about on the inside. That I would actually have peace on the inside. Humanity is looking for love, for purpose, and peace. And this morning I want to talk about peace. And it's funny that Kim used the scripture this morning. I'll start with that. Philippians 4:6, New American Standard. She didn't know what I was going to be speaking on, nor did I know what Kim was going to be sharing on. This is what the Bible says, God's opinion. Philippians 4:6, New American Standard. Do not be anxious for anything. Or let's try this up here. Be anxious for nothing. What does that mean? It means be anxious for nothing, for nada, zip. But in everything, what does that mean? But in everything. By prayer and supplication, some translations say petitions. Well, different message for another day. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. What about my bills? What about what my doctor says? What about my kids? What about what's happening overseas and all these crazy rumors of wars and everything that's going on? The Bible says this: do not be anxious about anything. Wouldn't it be weird if the Lord actually meant that? Wouldn't it be bizarre if he actually meant it? You know, I'm sure it's just a throwaway. I know you're not going to take it. I don't really mean it. But just in general principle, try not to be anxious. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. It's the Bible. It's his opinion. And I have to fit my world, my thoughts, those things that tug at my heart that are some of them good things. Anybody ever, don't raise your hand. Dana was ready to go. She was loaded. I'm going to say yes. Does anybody in here at this point have children? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. If you're a parent, and then you factor in this scripture, be anxious for nothing. Randy and I just had a grandson born 8 days ago. And he immediately, yeah, it's great, it's great. He's unusually intelligent, unusually good looking. I don't know where he got that from. Thank you, Randy. But immediately he went straight into the NICU, ICU for babies. Immediately. And it was some of you will know our son Andrew and his beautiful wife Kelsey. Andrew went to church here for years before he married Kelsey and went to her church. And I'm not even going to mention it because it doesn't bother me. Flesh wounds. I'm not worried about it. I'm not anxious about it. But it's their second child. And it's a little baby. He was born a week ago Saturday. Instantly, his oxygen isn't right. His breathing isn't right. Lungs aren't mature. He's got the yellow thing, the Billy lights, Billy Rubin. I think he played second base for the Athletics. I'm not sure. And he's in the ICU. And then, as a believer, because my son and daughter-in-law are believers, the Bible says this: be anxious for nothing. But, what about little baby? I know. Especially in those moments. Especially when it's real, when it's hard. What if God actually meant it when he wrote that scripture for us? Yes. What if God actually took that scripture himself serious? And it wasn't kind of like, oh, it's just a thought. I aim for it, but you're never going to hit it. Wouldn't it be weird if he actually meant what he said? Bizarre. It's not just a verse on my fridge. Anybody have any of those pictures in your house you hang up in your bathroom or your bedroom and it's your favorite verse? No, but you can get one. You have those verses and you walk past it after 10 years and you forget it's even there. But we have them. What if it actually was the Word of God and it was real and not just something to hang on your wall? Well, I know what it says, but this is real. My grandson is in the hospital. This is real. Oh, it's real. The Word of God supersedes any reality that I'm experiencing. Because it's his opinion. It's the Bible. It's not just a cute little verse hanging on my wall. We live in a world that is agitated, affected, shaken. And in this country, we have things that have happened in just in the last 4 or 5 years that have shaken our culture as Americans and obviously in the world. You probably have never... probably didn't notice this, but there was this thing called COVID in March of 2020. It kind of was a big deal. Do you remember the uproar over masks? Mask, no mask, mask, no mask. You remember all that? Families divided over it, over whether you wear a mask or not. Divided. Some families are still not put back together because you didn't wear a mask or you did wear a mask. You have no faith. Where's your brain? That was the attitude. Divisive issues. We had a have at the time a 33-year-old perfectly healthy son. I mean perfectly healthy son. Chose not to get vaccinated. Didn't get vaccinated. Anti-mask. He almost died in the hospital with COVID. He was in the ICU for days. It was a real event. It really happened. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Anybody remember when there was a president named President Biden and President Biden was running against a Republican named Donald Trump, and there was this whole election thing, stolen election. Remember? Anybody remember that? Yeah. Oh, my goodness, the uproar. Horrible. Be anxious for nothing. All the conspiracy theories, all the talk. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. This week, thank you, Kim, for coming up and praying. The tragic, tragic loss of Charlie Kirk. What does all this mean? How do I maintain my peace in the midst of things happening in the world that are real? Not just potential, what could happen, real things. Jesus said this in Matthew 24, verse 6 through 8. This is Bible again, red letters. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of war. Anybody ever heard of this verse? Yes. Anybody familiar with this? Oh, this gets quoted so much. It's the Bible. It should be quoted. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. Again, what if he actually meant that? It'd be so strange. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. That is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. I hear this verse quoted so much. I've been a Christian for 47 years. How many times over the last 4.5 decades have I heard this verse quoted? Funny thing is, Jesus said it 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, that's what Jesus said. And history moves on. Make no mistake, Jesus is coming back. But he said it 2,000 years ago. I wonder how many earthquakes have happened since that over the last 2,000 years. I wonder how many wars have happened over the last 2,000 years. I simply remember because John Block and I, we served together for an insurance company in 1981 to 84. And then another insurance, we're not going to mention the name of State Farm, but we worked for a company together, same office. We're not talking about that because John's already forgiven me. But we talked all the time about the necessity of earthquake insurance. Why? Because we live on the New Madrid Fault, second largest land fault in the continental United States. New Madrid Fault. And 1811 and 1812, there was an earthquake right here that was so violent, the Mississippi flowed upstream for 3 days upstream, rerouted. Places. Real Foot Lake in Tennessee was created from that earthquake. That's how big of an earthquake it was. It rang the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. That's how strong the earthquake was. There's been a few earthquakes. In 1964 in Alaska, a 9.2 earthquake magnitude, so much bigger than anything we've ever heard of or seen over the last 50 years, 60 years. It happened in Alaska, 9.2. We won't go into tectonic plates and how they measure them, but it's not like just 9.1, just a little bit bigger than 9.0. It's exponential, the numbers. exponential, each little percentage up. Yeah. We've had a lot of wars, a lot of earthquakes, and it creates a lot of distress in people. Philippians 4:6 says this, be anxious for nothing. We have tragedies that happen, wars that are currently happening, whether it's Israel and Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, all kinds of things. We have so many things that war against our peace on the inside. Political things that are happening. Assassinations for men of God. Think, Lord, why? And yet the Bible is the Bible, and it says, be anxious for nothing. Interest rates are so high. Grocery prices. Anybody ever hear any of this stuff ever from people you work with? Trying to get a new loan for your house? Oh, they've never been so high. We bought a house, 1981, 14% interest. It's a steal right now. Steal. Bargain. 14%. We had to assume a loan to get it. Another story for another day. Be anxious for nothing. My bills, my health, my future, my kids. Relational challenges and family marriage challenges. Be anxious for nothing, the Bible says. Frustrations, fears, anxieties. God bless me and you. Twice. Real stress, real things happening. How do I process that? How do I find peace when things are seemingly crazy? And yet Jesus prophesied that 2,000 years ago. And the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. How could we be anxious for nothing? I believe the answer is simple. I didn't say easy. But I think the answer is simple. It's called presence. His presence. How can I not be anxious? How can I not be stressed? It's his presence. One quick story out of the Bible. Luke 4, verse 14 to 30. Luke 4, this is a story about Jesus early in his ministry. We'll recognize at least some of it. Luke 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned to Galilee, and the power of the Spirit, he'd just been tempted in the desert. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, hometown. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah if you're British, was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, verse 18, famous passage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and a recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. This was a messianic promise. They all knew that. And this guy that they knew, because he's a hometown guy, has the audacity Verse 21. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been filled full in your hearing. What? Audacity? What? And all who were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips, and they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Hey, Johnny, this is home. Who do you think you are? We know you. You grew up right here in St. Peter's. this not Joseph's son? Verse 23, and he said to them, no doubt you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum City, do here in your hometown as well. Do some miracles here. Verse 24, and he said, truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land, and yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a widow who was a widow, a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. I won't go into it, it's a different message, but he just so grossly offended all the Jewish people. Yeah. Grossly offended them. Verse 28. And all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. And they got up and drove him, Jesus, capital H, and they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. Nice message. But passing through their midst, he went his way. The NIV says this, but he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. He walked right through the problem. He was on a cliff. He had so offended these people, they're ready to kill him. Let's not do that this morning. You may not like it, it's okay. But Jesus didn't mince his words. He wasn't worried about their reaction. He told them the truth. And we all focus on Isaiah 61, and he's quoting this beautiful passage, and it is a beautiful passage. But then he went on to elaborate and said, y'all are a mess. And the Lord went outside of the Jewish nation, Elijah did, and healed someone. And they hated him for it. I don't think after this lovely little sermon that Jesus did, he didn't call the musicians up, didn't take up an offering, didn't call the ministry team up. After his message, they're trying to kill him. Real anxiety, real trouble. There's a mob intending to throw him off a cliff and kill him. The challenge is, he is the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace, in the midst of a very dangerous situation, just walked right through it. Didn't fight, didn't argue, didn't defend himself, because Jesus was connected. On the inside, Jesus had perfect peace. Wouldn't you like to have perfect peace in your situation, in your challenge, and your difficulty at all times? What was Jesus' secret? Connection. Psalm 23, verse 4 says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they come for me. How could Jesus do it? Connection. He and the Father were one. It's one of those things in life. I hate, if you say you like challenges, you like problems, let's talk. We'll talk. I don't like challenges, I don't like problems. I like good things, I like chocolate. I like it when my sports teams win. I like it when my wife smiles at me. That's a good day. Not that, well, that sounds bad. My wife always smiles at me. It's always a good day with Randy. Step back, move away. I like it when good things happen. I don't like problems. I don't like difficulties. I don't like bad news. I'm normal-ish. But here's one thing that I found in my own life. When trouble comes into my life, it shows me where I'm really at. Reality. When I get a diagnosis, it shows me where I'm really at. When my car breaks down, it shows me where I'm really at. When my kids start behaving, my teenagers start behaving the way I did, it shows me where I really am. When my wife rolls her eyes at me, which I don't know that she does, but if she did, my reaction to the rolling of eyes shows me where I'm really at in life. Challenge, problem, tells me on the inside, this is the real place I'm in. My question to myself and to you is, in light of the challenges in our life, what am I talking about? What am I listening to in life? What am I reading? What am I believing? What am I thinking about? What am I talking about? What is my focus on? Because my wife says this thing to me all the time. Tom, whatever you're focusing on grows. It gets bigger. The more you talk about it, it gets bigger. The more you think about it, it gets bigger. It grows. It magnifies. It gets bigger than it really is the more I focus on something. And things shake me. They bother me. And sometimes maybe that focus on those challenges can bring anxiety in my soul. Anybody? Don't raise your hands. Anybody ever have some anxiety on the inside about something? Maybe regularly. Maybe it's almost common. Anxiety affects my moods. It affects my behavior. Fear is crippling. It makes people do things that they would never have thought and considered before. That's what fear does. And anxiety is the path that takes me towards fear. And for some of us, for some of you, for maybe me, maybe you, what cliff has the world brought me to today? The mob brought Jesus to a cliff. Is the mob of what I'm listening to, the podcasts, all that I'm reading, all the conspiracy theories, that mob of noise that I'm listening to, is it bringing me to a cliff of anxiety, to a cliff of danger of my soul, where I've lost my peace, where I can no longer think as a believer? Is the mob I've given myself to has driven me places that God never intended me to go? Jesus' secret for cliffs, because apparently he had a secret for cliffs. His secret recipe for cliffs and mobs, angry mobs, was connection with his Father, presence with his Father. John 10:30 says this, Bible, Word of God, the Bible says this, I and the Father are one. Connection. John 14:10, Bible. Jesus again speaking, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. And the beauty for all believers, the Holy Spirit is in us. He is resident. He is abiding. He is there. He is a resource to be tapped, to yield to at all times. And when the mob of anxiety and fears and worry and bills and health and kids and politics and the craziness of life, there's a mob that wants to push me to a cliff. Just like Jesus, I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. How do I deal with anxieties? Connection with Him. It's not a Sunday morning thing that He offers us. It's 168. Is that the right number? 24/7? 168 hours a week, 365 days. He offers connection, presence with me. Isaiah 9, 6 says this. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. Again, prophetic, speaking of the Messiah to come. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father. We can quote this, so many of us. Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. It's who he is. It's what he is. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. There's no end of the peace that he offers. No end. I'm tapped out. I used it all last week on the other problem. No, it's always there. It's a depth I could never plumb. It's inexhaustible. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from them and on forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Jesus walks into a boat, and there's a storm, and he wakes up, and he's like, guys, why are you freaking out? What is your problem? And he's irritated with the disciples. They're professional fishermen. They're wet. He's like, I'm with you. What are you doing? Why are you reacting? Out of fear. Jesus woke up and he simply exerted himself. He simply yielded to what was on the inside, the Holy Spirit. He says, hush, be still. And it says the storm became completely still. John 14, 26 and 27. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. Am I listening? Am I learning? Am I yielding? He will teach you. Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Full measure, not a little bit, not a dabble do you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. But when I look at problems so often, so many times for some of us, it's like this. Anybody know what this is? It's not half of my glass. It's not a monocle. Is that what they call that, a monocle? It's a magnifying glass. And this week I had to use it. I had a prescription bottle and I couldn't, the fine print was so fine. I pulled my glasses out. No help. I used my glasses with the magnifying glass. And you know what I said? Randy! Come hither. And she pulled on her glasses and she used a magnifying glass and she said, huh? But magnifying glasses make something very small much bigger. And can I submit to us, that is the nature of most of our problems. We magnify them and blow them out of proportion, much bigger than they actually are. In my mind, I make things huge. Have you ever looked at a mole on your arm and took that to the doctor in my mind, that to the funeral home, that to what they're saying at my funeral? Have you anybody ever done that? I know you haven't because you're normal. You're healthy. You're right. We play these things in our mind. And I'm magnifying something way out of proportion. It's not okay. They should be used for fine print, for plucking of eyebrows. I know. What do I do when I'm anxious? How do I do this? What do I do? I'm going to finish with this. Psalm 34, verse 1 through 5. Psalm 34, verse 1 through 5. What do I do when there's trouble, when there's challenge, when there's things going on in the world, and I can feel my anxiety level rise? I can feel worry wanting to emanate from me. It's been percolating. The Word of God says this, Psalm 34, 1 through 5. I will bless the Lord at all times.
But no, but this is a real problem.
I will bless the Lord at all times, good, bad, indifferent. What do? I bless the Lord in the midst of my anxieties, in the midst of my trouble. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How often? I don't know. Always, continually. How do I overcome anxieties? It starts right here. 101, great, but how? What do? My whole family is worriers. Anybody ever heard of family like that? Maybe you're married to someone like that. I can't help it. My whole family are worriers. My genetics are now Jesus. My gene pool is now His. What do? I will bless the Lord at all times, especially when I'm on the edge of a cliff in life. His praise shall continually, that sounds pretty regular, be in my mouth. What do? My soul, in the midst of my cliff experience, in the midst of trouble, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. My anxiety spills over. My anxiety and my fears don't remain in my little bucket. If I'm anxious and worried, it spills over to people around me. And I'm affecting them. I can affect them with faith and trust, or I can affect them with anxiety and worry and fear. It's contagious, faith or fear. The humble will hear my praise in the midst of challenge and rejoice. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name forever together. What do? Lord. Okay, can I just say this? It's impossible to make the Lord bigger. He has everything. He has the oceans in the palm of His hand. He holds all things together by the word of His power. I can't make Him bigger, but I need to make Him bigger in here. So many times I hear, and it drives me nuts. It's a short drive. It's more like a putt than a drive. But it drives me nuts when I hear people have this massive devil, massive demons. They're everywhere. They're all powerful. No, they're not. God is. Yes. And to hear believers give so much glory to the devil, so much power. Oh, he's so amazing. The devil is a defeated foe. You know what his calling card is? You know what his power is? Lies, bluff, deception. And if he can get me to think he's the one that's all powerful, I'm in trouble. So magnify is I'm making the Lord big in my life and my understanding. How do I overcome anxiety? I magnify the Lord in me. What do? I sought the Lord. I seek His face. How do I overcome anxieties? I focus on Him. And He answered me. Verse 4, and He delivered me from all my fears. What happened first? I sought the Lord, then He delivered me. Verse 5, and we'll close with this. They, you and I, looked to Him and were radiant. Some of us glow easier than others. It's the shine that emanates from my very being. But is my heart shining? Are my words shining? Are my words radiant and beautiful? Or am I Debbie Downer? I was just with somebody recently in a room, and this gentleman said something over a situation. It wasn't very nice. It wasn't very kind. He didn't swear or anything. It was just very negative. And his wife from across the room said, oh, way to go, Debbie Downer. They're both Christians, the husband and wife. I'm like, oh, you guys have been married for a long time, I can tell. She had no problem throwing out the Debbie Downer comment amongst a lot of people. But I just looked at that man and I thought, that's what I'm used to hearing from your mouth. He doesn't go to this church, so it's not you. Don't worry about it. My mouth, my words give away where I'm really at. None of us are perfect. Mostly, none of us. But Lord, have I grown comfortable with anxieties? Have I made fear and worry my friend? Where I give it a lot of space in my life. It's destructive. It's ugly. It doesn't play nice. It causes ulcers, anxieties. It bleeds into others around me. Magnify the Lord in my mind, with my mouth. Lord, you're huge. You can do anything. I'm believing you in this impossible situation. And it's time to start walking through circumstances just like Jesus, because he was connected and he knew who he was. And more importantly, as importantly, he knew his Father was. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you that it's not confusing. I thank you that it's not just a suggestive thought that some of the Green Beret Christians can try. But Father, your word says, be anxious about nothing, but trust you in everything. Father, I speak peace into us as a family. With all the world raging, all the podcasts, all the news, all the Christianese things, that all these predictive things that have been happening for 2,000 years, Lord, may my heart be settled that my God is in charge, that my God is a good father. And come whatever, Lord, I know you're going to come back soon, I hope. And there will be earthquakes and there will be wars. But Father, in the midst of whatever, I will trust in you. Amen. And I will say that you are my Father, you are my God, and I will not quake. Father, may peace be on this church family because of you, because of connection with you, that we would know who we are and whose we are. Help us, Lord, in moving forward in life. Bless us as a church family. And everyone said, amen and amen. Can I have the prayer team come up? If you want someone to pray with you, if you want someone to stand with you, if you are struggling in your health, if you're struggling in relationships, and you just want someone to pray with you, we want to help you. We want to stand with you. Everyone, if we can stand up if you're able. Father, in Jesus' name, we choose you. We choose life. We choose to walk with you and believe your promises. We choose faith and your word and your way. Be blessed and encouraged in Jesus' name. Have an amazing week. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.